In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. I would like to first wish each and every one of you a very blessed Easter. But as you've seen, if you've been following along through the different prayers and the ceremonies this evening, or I guess yesterday evening, it's a new day already, you have seen that we have died to this world. We read the Genesis of God's creation of all of these things in that first lesson. And all that God created, it is all good. When God created each of these things, he says, it is good. He saw that it was good. And now we hear the gospel, the epistle, telling us that we have died to this world. St. Paul makes it very clear, we are to die to this world. In our baptisms, we have died to this world. We have died to all the pomps and things of this earth that Satan has to offer us. We have vowed ourselves completely to God. And at first glance, there seems to be this incongruity. If all of these things are good, why are we supposed to die to them? What is it that God expects of us? Does he want us to see these good things, to enjoy them? Or does he want us to die to them, to live as if we did not have them? And the answer is somewhere in the middle. And St. Paul elsewhere makes it very clear to us what we are to do, how we are to live. All of these things that God has created are good. Nothing that God has made is evil. The only thing that is evil is sin. But very often, these good things, because of our fallen nature, have become an occasion of sin to us. And therefore, they are not evil in themselves, they are evil in relation to us. And so St. Paul gives us the admonition that we should use all these things as if we use them not. That we must use them, but yet be detached from them. Our tendency, since our fallen nature, is to cling to the things of this earth. We see that all these things are passing away. Before our very eyes, we recognize the truth of what King Solomon says, that it is all vanity. It is all a chase after the wind. And who can catch the wind? We are fools, striving after the things of this earth, trying to capture them, to harness them, to make them our own, because as soon as we lay our hands upon them, they slip between our fingers. But if we will stop grasping. Stop trying to capture and hold these things that God has created. We will find that they are at our service. They will be of an aid to us, not only in our spiritual life, but in our physical life. Here on this earth, in this world, all of these things will become an aid to us once we stop grasping after them. And Christ has made it very clear to us. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these other things will be given you besides. Don't worry about all these things. Don't worry what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about all these things. That's what the pagans do. The infidels, those who don't know God, they worry about these things. But you believe in God. You know that He is your Heavenly Father. You know that He knows all things. He knows what you need. Seek first that kingdom of heaven, and all these other things will be given you besides. And this is what our Lord is telling us when He gives us this example of dying to ourselves. As we saw yesterday, Him hanging there upon the cross, offering this supreme sacrifice, this ultimate sacrifice of His very being to His Heavenly Father in atonement for our sins. He gives us the example. He even comes forth and tells us that if we wish to be His disciple, we must take up our cross and follow Him. We must die by that first Adam, that first man. Sin entered into this world, and every one of us are born with original sin. And we are born to the consequences of this sin, even after we have the sin washed away in baptism. We still must suffer the consequences. And one of those is the mortal death, this first death. This death that Christ underwent and showed us the way. Every one of us must die. That is our inheritance from the first Adam. But Christ, the second Adam, gives us eternal life. We have died with Adam, the first one. We will rise to eternal life with Christ. One brought death, the other brought life. But as you've heard me mention before so many times, in order to rise with Christ, if we're to rise on that last day glorious and be with Christ, we must first die with Him. We must die that first death. But even before this first death, we have to die to this world. In that first commandment, God tells us very clearly, we must love Him with our whole being. We must love Him more than we love our mother and father, our brother or sister, our sons or daughter, husband or wife, friend and neighbor, more than any physical thing on this earth. And He says even, we must love Him more than we love ourselves. And this supreme love for God demands a renunciation of ourselves, a denial of ourselves, somewhat of which we have hopefully experienced during this past season of Lent. When we imposed upon ourselves mortifications, penances, we died to those passions, to those desires of this flesh, of this body. Not because we hate it, not because it is evil, but because we love God so much the more. We wish to please God. We wish to follow Him. And as Christ fasted in the desert, so we too choose to fast with Him. As He mortified Himself, So we too wish to mortify ourselves. As he prayed with the most heartfelt, the most aching and sorrowful prayer, so we too sought to pray with him and ask God's mercy upon ourselves. And as he resigned himself completely to his heavenly Father's will, so we too, hopefully, have ended our prayers in like manner. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And as he suffered unjust accusations, an unjust persecution, an unjust death, and did not become bitter or angry, did not lash out upon those who were turned against him, but on the contrary, he felt pity and compassion for them, even prayed for them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. So hopefully we have imitated him and said from the bottom of our hearts, deep from the depth of our heart, we have come forth and said, Father, forgive those enemies of mine. Forgive those who have harmed me. I forgive them, and I ask that you forgive them too. And if we have no other motive than to pray that, we have always that Our Father, which we have been encouraged to pray daily. And in that prayer, we ask God the Father to forgive us in exactly the same manner in which we have forgiven those who have harmed us. As we have forgiven, so Father, forgive us. But it should go further than just obeying the command. It has to be truly motivated by charity, by love. For this is the keynote of all that Christ has done. This is the glory of his resurrection. This love that God has for us, his enemies. For we have come into this world enemies of God because we came into this world in the state of sin. And he came to redeem us and to pay the ultimate price for our redemption. And all that is necessary, all that is asked of us, is that we love him in return. That we love him with a preferential love. With a love so great that we consider the things of this earth as if they were nothing. That we consider it not a great loss. If we lose our fortune, if we lose a loved one, even if we lose our own life, it is not a great loss because we ultimately are going to lose these things anyway. The only loss that we should truly be afraid of, that we should be concerned about, is the loss of the love of God. That should cause us to shake in our shoes, to tremble in fear, that somehow, even in some way that we may not be aware of, we may have offended God, and he may be displeased with us. That should cause us a little discomfort. but not so much as to cause us to lose faith, to lose hope, but just enough to keep us ever striving to do better, ever striving to do more, realizing that we can never do enough for the one whom we love so much. And no matter what he asks of us, we should be ready to give it freely, willingly, and lovingly. We should be willing to pray as Job prayed. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whatever he chooses to do to me or with me is his right. And I have no right to complain, especially if I consider myself his child, his creation. Especially if I consider myself as one who loves him as I ought to love him. I shall never have any complaint against God if I truly love him. But I will love him more and more each day, whether he gives me sunshine or rain, good times or bad. They all become irrelevant. We become indifferent to them because we are only concerned with loving God, seeking first that kingdom of heaven and trusting in God that if he chooses to reward us here on earth, so be it. But if he chooses to punish us here on earth, we are even more grateful that we receive our punishment now, our suffering now, our cross now, so that perhaps we may be spared that suffering in eternity. Hopefully this Lenten, past Lenten season, has taught us something of what it means to die to this world, so that truly this morning we can rise a new creature in Christ, and we have something truly to celebrate, this feast of the resurrection. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.